Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, friends, and welcome to the mini edit from Edit Your Life. In these snack-sized mini episodes, I answer your questions about everything from self-care to parenting to relationships to home and more. Think of me like that friend you text or call when you need a quick piece of compassionate and candid advice. Send me your questions. Today, I'm excited to talk about one of my very favorite topics and something I get questions about all the time, how to get kids functional in the kitchen. This topic was on my mind again because I published a Substack post in mid-August about putting the fun in functional, in which I share about not being a fun mom. Instead, I view myself as fun facilitating or fun adjacent. And that one of my superpowers is putting the fun in functional. So here's an excerpt. One of those forms of fun happens in the kitchen, which is my functional playground. I like to cook and I love to bake. So having an activity with my kids that is fun, creativity, and functional, life skills development, food on the table, relationship building, is a mega win. As soon as my kids began to develop verbal skills, instead of playing on the floor with toys, we played in the kitchen. When they were toddlers, I measured out dry ingredients and they delighted in dumping things into a bowl. As their motor control improved, they handled wet ingredients in glass measuring cups, stirred dry and wet ingredients together, and shaped cookie balls. When they learned to read, I taught them how to decipher a recipe and look up items in the index. Along the way, we talked about various essentials and nuances in cooking and baking, about heat and fire safety, not overmixing batter, how to check for doneness in baked goods, the differences between baking soda and baking powder, knife safety skills, how kitchen scales and recipes that convey measurements in weight can save you on dirty dish volume, liquid versus dry good measurements, how to hack buttermilk. We're in the last couple of weeks of summer, and these weeks are rather unscheduled. Early last week, Violet, 12 years old, decided to make molasses ginger cookies and handled the entire process start to finish, including cleaning up all the dishes. It doesn't matter how many hundreds or thousands of cookies have been baked in this house, there's still such delight when someone walks in and says, "I smell cookies." A couple of days later, my desire to do something fun with Violet intersected perfectly with a birthday cake I wanted to make for my father-in-law. My sister Jen gifted Violet a Bake From Scratch magazine subscription for her birthday this year, and we had already flagged the carrot cake recipe, given that it was a nut-free version. The kitchen was a disaster to begin with, so while I did the preliminary work of cleaning out the sink, clearing the counters, and prepping the cake pans with butter, parchment, and flour, my least favorite job but an essential step in cake baking, Violet and I chatted while she measured out all the cake ingredients, mixed the batter, poured the batter into the two prepped pans, put the pans in the oven, put away the ingredients, and cleaned up the workspace. Like a freaking baking boss. Okay, friends, I'm going to next share 7 tips for how to get your kids savvy in the kitchen. We'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, check out StoryWorth. StoryWorth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, StoryWorth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Funny enough, I was just chatting with a neighbor who told me that her mom gifted copies of her StoryWorth album to immediate family members, and literally everyone was crying, in a good, loving way. I loved this example because while yes, StoryWorth is a great gift between a parent and kid, in this case, it was a gift from sister to sister that then was shared across generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. Here are my key tips to getting kids functional in the kitchen. First, just start. As I mentioned above, as soon as your kids are verbal, you can get rolling, but don't fret if your kids are older and aren't savvy in the kitchen. I didn't learn to cook until I graduated from college because my mom could not deal with other cooks in her small kitchen. Any time is a great time to learn. Second, be mindful of skill level. Nothing sucks the fun out of a food project like techniques and steps that are way too difficult and make things miserable. Start with some easy wins and make choices based on what looks fun and doable and yummy. Level up if and when you want to and when there is no pressure. Even with all of the experiences my kids and I have, there have been so many times when we have seen something on the Great British Baking Show, looked it up, and then been like, yeah, hard no, too hard to be fun. Third, remember that learning to cook and bake isn't just a domestic skill. There are so many benefits to getting in the kitchen with your kids. Among them, the development of life skills, opportunities to slide in science and math lessons, and togetherness time. It's the best. Fourth, let go of perfection. I don't think I'm overstating things when I say that cooking and baking with my kids has helped me be a better parent in general. I used to be an annoying perfectionist about kitchen things, and when I'm on my own, I still want to make things look perfect and beautiful. But with my kids, I want them to explore and be creative while learning the basics. Think about the actual versus perfectionist lessons you want to teach. For example, back when they were first learning how to shape cookie dough balls, we talked about how different sized cookies are totally fine, because yay, creative expression, but that if you're making cookie balls versus something like cutout sugar cookies, different sized dough balls mean that the small cookies will be done before the big cookies and might burn. Meaning, the message was not that a set of imperfectly shaped cookies is a bad set of cookies. Fifth, accept the mess. A lot of parents tell me they don't want their kids in the kitchen because it will be messy. It will be messy. On the other hand, in order to teach kids to clean up their messes, they need a mess to begin with. You may need to educate about things like how greasy pans need more attention, but just stay with it. Sixth, create a cleanup rule. In order to contend with a potential relentless stream of baked goods, early on we established a rule that if the kids made treats just for fun, they needed to clean up all the dishes, and if they made a family meal, I would do all the dishes. It means that now they only tackle a baking project if they feel ready to do the whole thing start to finish. And finally, have fun sharing. We have always oriented towards a spirit of giving, whether that is sharing baked treats with friends and neighbors or making things for a school bake sale. I love it when people ask us to bring certain baked goods to an event. Okay, friends, I hope this was helpful. And if you have a question for me, please drop me a line at edityourlifeshow@gmail.com or DM or comment on a post on Facebook or Instagram at Edit Your Life Show. Thanks for listening.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes I'll wear my kids kind of mom. Well, you're aiming more of a, we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.